We're going to go, if we could, Isaiah, the 54th chapter. I just want to encourage us with a little bit of a word today and just share a little bit what I'm thinking. You know, I wanted to preach on the fear of the Lord from a good, healthy perspective. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It brings eternal peace. There's so much to it. One of the seven spirits of God is the fear of the Lord. And what does that actually look like? I think it's just seeing God in his right perspective. I'm not going to hang out there this morning, but I just feel in my heart that we really need to get a grip on who our God is this morning. It's like some people say, you know, I saw Jesus, and I'm not doubting that people seeing Jesus, but most of the time when you see anybody in the Bible that actually saw the Lord, they collapsed. I mean, when John saw angels, he fell on his face trembling at the majesty of these beings. The great thing is one of these days we are going to see him. Everybody that saw him, by the way, they would tremble, they would fall on their face, and then, not because they thought that God was going to kill them, but because they saw the majesty of who this guy really was, who this God really was. And then God would say the famous words, fear not, fear not. How many know he's for you as we sing? He's for you. He's not against you. That he is majestic and he is great. In everything that this world has to offer right now, I don't care if it's with your faith, your family, or your finances, keep your faith in him, right? Keep your trust in him. I said before, we're in a covenant. And in Isaiah, the 54th chapter, the 53rd chapter, I like to teach out of this, the 53rd chapter, it is about the crucifixion. It's about the death and the burial of Jesus and the supplication for our souls that he gave. And it said that Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53, it said he grew as a root out of dry ground. That's his nature. He doesn't need the perfect soil because what's in him is greater than the external around him. It said he grew as a root out of dry ground. And so wherever he's planted, he changes the nature of what they put in. And so with us, by the way, we are a remnant seed, right? And some of our famine, some of our lack, I was counseling a pastor yesterday. We are called to grow as a root out of dry ground as well, right? Our famine is the field in which the character and the nature of God begins to create. The Bible says that wherever we go, that the desert will become an Eden. You are an invasive, divine species from the Lord to change the environment that you're in. Do you believe that? I believe that we are, because we're going to get into Isaiah 54 because of the covenant that we're in. If you'd stand for the reading of the word this morning, and I'll just take a few minutes here and unpack a couple of things. Verse 1, it says, sing, O barren, who did not break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate shall be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations stretch out. Don't hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring shall possess the nations, and will people the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. And the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer, the God of the whole earth. He is called, for God has called you. Like a wife deserted and grieved in her spirit, like a wife of the youth when she has been cast off, says God. For a brief moment, it feels like I've deserted you, but with great compassion I'll gather you. In an overflow of anger, for a moment I hid my face, as it were, from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For like as the waters of Noah to me I swore, as the waters of Noah will no more go over the earth, so I have sworn, and I will not be angry with you, and will not rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you. And my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you, O you afflicted, storm-tossed, and not comforted. Behold, I will set your stones in antimony and lay your foundations in sapphires. I will make your pinnacles agates and your gates carbuncles. And all of your walls of precious stones, and all of your children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of your children, and righteousness you shall be established, and you shall be far from oppression. For you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. If anyone stirs up strife, it is not from me. And whoever stirs up strife with you shall fall because of you, because I have created the smith who blows upon the coals and produces the weapon for its purpose. And I have also created the ravager to destroy. And I declare over you, listen to this, no weapon. Tattoo that upon the fleshly tablets of your heart. No weapon formed against you shall succeed, and you shall refute every tongue that rises up in judgment. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is the vindication from me, declares the Lord. Lord, I just thank you so much for this day. Lord, I just declare over us at this time and at this season that we would awaken to where heaven's perspective is, as we've talked about before. But Lord God, that we would see ourselves as those agents and ambassadors of the covenant that you placed us in. And Lord, I give you the praise so much for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to remind you that when this was written and Jesus rose from the dead, maybe hundreds of years later, the fact of the matter is this is the covenant that you're in. This is the covenant that we have right now. And I believe just for our church that we are not designed to just simply be a house of worship that gathers once a week. I believe that we're change agents. I believe that we are a remnant people on the earth that is specifically designed to change the environment that we're in because of the covenant that we're in. Now, here's the thing. When the Lord begins to speak to the people about this covenant, he has to remind them of one thing. The way things used to be is not the way they are right now. The whole nation went through trials and circumstances where it felt like God was far from them, God was away from them. They suffered because the consequences of, can I say this, their stupidity at times. And God said, but now you're in a different covenant. Now I am going to challenge you not to remind yourselves of the failures of your past. Can I have a witness on that? Anytime, I've said this before, anytime your past is greater than your future, you are living a life of confinement. So I'm just going to say it like this. I do care about you. I do care about the trauma that you've been through. I do care about maybe some of the suffering that you've been through because of maybe some of the mistakes of others and maybe some of the mistakes of your own. But that does not define you today. You have no excuse because of this covenant. God's telling you, he says, you might have been widowed, you might have been orphaned, you might have been divorced, you might have been abused, but the fact of the matter is, regardless of what you've done and regardless of what other people have done to you, he said that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper anymore. If you choose to believe it, it's got to be mixed with faith. You can be a victim. Even with what you're struggling with right now, I talked about whack-a-mole early. Even with what you're struggling with right now, the fact of the matter is God is sending forth from heaven through his covenant a commanded blessing. And he says, there is no way that you will not succeed if you choose to believe the scripture this morning. There's no way. Depending on what somebody is. So that means this. None of us are victims in here. None of us are victims in here. And can I say this? When you see Jesus Christ face to face, you are going to either have an excuse or you're going to have a testimony. Right? There is no excuse. Not because of who you are, because of what you've done, but because of what he has done for you. So he challenges you this morning. One thing that he does is he says, forget about the past to the degree, unless it's part of your testimony, you can't do anything to change your past. Understand the promise that I have for your future. He said, I'm going to extend my covenant towards you. I'm going to bless you. In fact, if you walk with me, it's going to be impossible for you not to be blessed. When somebody rises up against you, the Lord says, he is going to shut them down because of the covenant that you're in. When people lie about you, and some people would even say, you know what, you're going through this because obviously God doesn't care about you. Have you ever been trying to do what God calls you to do and been through it? Can I say this? It feels like you're fighting hell with a water pistol. And then somebody comes up and says, well, like Job's comforters, well, you're probably going through this because you're probably not right with the Lord, or the Lord's just, God says, anybody that talks that way, that's a lie. And he says, he'll silence your accusers in that. You're in covenant with God because you believe in what he's done for you. So he says two things. He says, begin to forget about all that past stuff. Begin to look at hope for a future. And he says this. Now, how many, right now we got in the world, there's a whole lot of people prepping. You might not admit to it. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. But there's some people, we don't know what's coming up, right? We don't know what's coming up in election. We don't know what's coming up in the economy. We don't know what's coming up in healthcare. There's so many things. How many know? We have a part to play. We can vote. We can do those things. But at the end of the day, the Bible says that all the nations are going to serve him. And it says that we are going to serve the Lord by leading the nations. I'm not just looking at the White House. I'm looking at our house. The Bible says that you are kings and priests. Put on your robe of righteousness. Begin to look at the covenant that you're in. And then it begins to say this, begin to prep. You got to begin to prep. You can believe the word of God and not prepare for blessing. Do you realize that? I believe the word. The Bible says faith without works is dead. It's empty enthusiasm. I believe, and the Lord says this, so if you believe me, I declare and I challenge you to begin to prepare for blessing. I am not preparing for the world to go to hell in a handbasket this morning. Now, the world, as far as the world system, it is. But I'm in a different government. I'm in a different economy. My Father is the King and Creator of all things. And so he says, I challenge you to do something this morning. Would you prepare for blessing? Would you prepare for blessing? Because God is going to specifically meet you with his blessing at your capacity to prepare. Because you are, I'm going to say this morning, you are barrier breakers. You are barrier breakers. Every single one of us in this room, God has challenged you in this place to begin to move beyond the status quo of what you have experienced, even in him, and begin to move into a place where God is going to give you exceptional, exceeding increase. He says, lengthen the cords, strengthen your stakes, move to the right, to the left, move to the north and south, and make room for the capacity of the blessing I'm about to pour on you, if you choose to believe it. If you choose to believe it. Do you know, Christians have always been the barrier breakers. I love the story of Roger Bannister, 1954. He ran a mile in 3:59. They said it was impossible up to that point. Can't happen, not gonna happen. He broke that barrier. And that same year, six other people broke it. Our societies right now, they're just waiting for one person that actually believes that God's going to break the barriers, break off the limitations, add increase, bless exceedingly and abundantly. And God will meet you at that. Let's not limit him this morning. And in the late 1800s, I love the story of a Bishop Wright who ended up meeting at a conference of leaders and church elders to discuss the modern science of the day and the society's issues. And he stood up at the conference and they were talking about air travel and flight. And he stood up and said, there is no way that God will ever allow us to go in to the heavens. We will never be able to fly because the heavens are the bird's domain. And the earth is man's domain. And 30 years later, at Kitty Hawk, his three boys ended up breaking that limitation. You're barrier breakers, if you choose to be. How about us just say in this church this morning that if you come from a drug addicted family, that curse is broken off, starting with you. That curse is broken off, starting with you. If you've been strict with poverty because of the covenant, because of Isaiah, the 54th chapter, I just declare over you this morning, if you choose to believe it, that you are the breach between what used to be in your family lineage and what is going to be. Somebody's got to stand up. Chuck Yeager, who broke the sound barrier. They actually called the sound barrier the great demon. Okay? And the day before he got in that airplane or that jet, what happened was he got kicked off of a horse, fell down, and broke two ribs. When he got into that jet, he was in so much pain, he had to shut the cockpit with an old broom handle. And then he began to go. He hit 7, then he hit 8. And he said it felt like everything was about to come apart in the airplane or in the jet. And he said he had two choices. He could back up or he could push forward. And as soon as he pushed forward, the sound barrier called the great demon, all of a sudden there was a snap and it went smooth as glass. Some of you think things are about to fall apart. Some of you say, man, if I keep pushing forward with the Lord like this, if I keep moving forward with the Lord, the things that God has for me, you know what? I might lose it all. What if what he said is true? What if you just, well, what if the turbulence is evidence of you breaking through and breaking a barrier for a new season in your life? Dear God, help me. A few weeks back during praise and worship, I said, the scripture about the excellency, that we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power of God might be of him and not of us. And I said that word excellency of the power of God, that is hyperbole. That is an exaggeration. It's where we get the word hyperbole. Melanie wakes up every Sunday morning, throws up in the windows, and says, I am burning up. How many of you, she's not burning up. That's a hyperbole. She just hot and sweaty. I wake up every morning when she wakes up and opens the windows, and I say, I'm freezing. How many know that's a hyperbole? That's an exaggeration, okay? How many know teenage kids walk in the house and say, I'm starving? They're not starving. That's a hyperbole. That's an exaggeration. And God says that the excellency of the power of God might be of him and not of us. God is actually saying, I want to exaggerate your life. When people see your life, I want to make sure when they see you that they see it is impossible that what's happening in your life can happen from you and through you alone. That there is an exaggeration by the Holy Ghost making room on the inside of you to break the external barriers that have faced you. I think about Keisha this morning, and I'm going to pick on some people this morning. You watch out for her. She's the barrier breaker. She's been through some stuff. She hasn't arrived, but there's something on the inside of her that says, I know that there's something greater on the inside of me than what I've experienced yet. And though she's been through some stuff, she hasn't backed down. And she said, you know what? the position I'm in right now, because of my background, there should be no opportunity to do what I do. And she keeps getting promoted because promotion is of the Lord. Yeah, and a couple of her kids want to be police officers. Amen. And one of these days, I'm not joking about this, one of these days, this lady right here, because when the turbulence is happening, she got two choices. Either she can back off and stay where she's at. And I'll tell you this, I want all of us right now to really be thankful for what we've got. I want us to be content with what we got, but I don't want us to be complacent. Contentment says I'm thankful for what I have, but it doesn't move into complacency and say this is all that I want. Because there's something bigger on the inside of me that wants more, because he's bigger than what I've experienced and the world needs to see him in that way. So when the turbulence happens, possibly with Keisha, I just challenge her this morning, just grab a hold of the throttle, close your eyes, pray to Jesus, and watch, there's going to be a breakthrough. Because one of these days, I'm going to tell you what, this lady might be the mayor of Linton, or she might be the commissioner of Greene County. You watch. Write that in the leaflet of your Bible as a prophetic word. And she's not going to take $1 million for what she's been through, but she's not going to take $1 million for what God's done in the middle of it. You mark my words with that. I was talking to Chip earlier this week, and Chip was talking about his family tree. And I've been with Chip for, in school for over 30 years, but we've been in ministry together for over 20 years now. And isn't it great? You think you know everything about somebody and you're always learning something new. Our relationships are as much of a mystery. Me and Melanie be talking. She tells me something every week, possibly, maybe, about her past I didn't know, and vice versa. God's given us so many things. I want Chip to share really quick. He just said something nonchalantly in passing, and I'm like, what? Are you serious? Share that with me.
To my granny, I was blessed to, as an older guy even, to have my granny in my life, and she was giving me some of the history. As a young man, I'd lost my father in a car accident. He was killed in a car accident, and so you don't learn much about the ancestors before, but in talking with my granny, I said, can you tell me a little bit about the Langley men, because I'm getting older, I've got some aches and some pains, I'm trying to sort some things out and so she began to tell me, and she's going backward, your grandpa, your great grandpa, your great great grandpa, and your great 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 grandpa, none of them were raised by their dad. Thought, how many? I lose track, but basically my kids, because of the goodness of God, my children were the first Langleys to be raised by their dad. Wow. It's like, and that's not me. That's him. I think, wow. And it didn't hardly register, but it was fatherlessness that has messed with the Langley clan. And poverty. And I'm just telling you what, we're going to keep breaking the back of both of those things. Amen.
Yeah, yeah. He went back to the 1840s in his lineage to find that he's the first dad to make the journey. You think that God's not going to bless their lineage? What is your family tree? We all look like the Adams family, if we go back. We're all a bunch of dead. There's nothing normal. We've said this. But I've just determined, because of the covenant of Isaiah 54, that I get to be the burial breaker. I'm going to be the Chuck Yeager. I'm going to be, doggone it, the Wright brothers in the spirit. I'm going to be Captain Kirk in the spirit this morning. I'm going to boldly go where nobody's gone before in my life. I'm just saying. I want to be that. David was that barrier breaker in his generation. You don't kill giants. You're the least loved in your family. Your mom is not the rest of your brother's mom. And all of the things. He was not of a king lineage, and he was not of a priest lineage. And you know what? He ended up killing giants. He ended up becoming a king. He ended up becoming a priest. He built the tabernacle of David, which God still honors today. And he said, you know what? I've seen what people say I can do, but I've seen what God's able to do. I remember I got born again, and that was like impossible. That was a barrier break in my life. I'm just saying, I got born again. I knew I was born again. I knew I was saved. And what's crazy is when I got born again, I actually tried to, there were some, let's say, Christians that tried to talk me out of my born again experience. Because I still had long hair. Because I didn't go to their church. Because I had tattoos. Because I wore short sleeves with tattoos, because I wasn't baptized the way they were baptized. So I get born again, I'm completely saved, I break a barrier, and the next thing you know, turbulence comes in to try and talk me out of the very thing God just gave me. And so next thing I get baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of tongues. I got baptized with the Holy Ghost and the evidence of tongues. I thought, listen, this is it. This is the nail in the devil's coffin. If God can save me, fill me with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of tongues. Listen, a barrier has been broken. What can he not do? By the way, that began with my brother. My brother quit Rose Holman. He was going to be an engineer, decided he was called into ministry, became a Baptist pastor, and messed up one night. He messed up and went to a revival and got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Started prophesying. He broke a barrier in my family. Not saying that our Baptist faith was not good. That was wonderful. But there was more. He lengthened our tent stakes. He extended our cords. He showed us that there was more to God than what we had experienced in our past. So next thing you know, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm spirit-filled. I actually began to share my testimony. And when I got called to Duggar, you know what my pastor told me? He said, planting a spirit-filled church in Duggar. Duggar is where tongue-talking churches go to die. For 60 years, there has never been a spirit-filled church make it in this community. There's something inside of me that had a, if God said it, I'm going to believe it. And so when I came into the community, I realized this, that there had been things that had happened in this community that has already always rejected the spirit-filled message. Not that there's not good, wonderful congregations in this area that love Jesus. I'm not saying us or them. I'm just saying there's an experience beyond what others were preaching. So I show up and I begin to preach, knowing that I'm going to the community where Pentecostal churches go to die. I pull up, and I'm going to tell you, I love the guy. He's passed away now. But the town drunk had the Assembly of God sign nailed to the side of his trailer. I'm like, I take that as a challenge. The Jesus onlys couldn't make it. The Church of God could not make it. The Assemblies of God could not make it. And they said, what do you think? Well, we don't need another church in this area. We need another grocery store. Well, I'm like, I have meat that you know not of. The next thing you know, God breaks a barrier in this area. Next thing you know, there's another campus planted. Next thing you know, within the first few years, I got asked to preach as a Pentecostal tongue-talking, foam-in-the-mouth, Bible-believing Christian to preach 7 out of the 8 next community services through the Ministerial Association. Breaking barriers. Breaking barriers. It's an honor. My high school diploma got given to me because they did not want to see me one more year. I mean, they already held me back once. So I'm sitting out in my. I didn't hand out any graduation announcements. Melanie always says, "Dan, you were just smart in a different way." That's like my mom saying, "Dan's a good boy. He just makes bad decisions." No, I was a bad boy. Okay. I'm sitting out in the hallway, and I've got to make a D to graduate. And they, the Mr. Scholl looks out. He said, what are you still doing here? It's like 45 minutes, these grade finals. I said, I'm waiting. He said, close enough, and slammed the door. I broke a barrier that day because I didn't think I was going to graduate high school. I'm just saying. But lo and behold, years later, tongues and revelation and property and opportunity and precious people. And I'm teaching business, third year Bible college at Caris Bible College, and teaching real estate all over the world. That's a barrier broke. I want us to break some barriers in here. I want us to extend our... I don't want us to limit God. I don't want us to blame our past on a lack of moving into our future, because God's bigger than that. Right? Let's prepare three things right now. I'm going to close. Let's prepare our heart for increase. Let's prepare our heart for increase. Let's hang out with people of faith. Let's iron sharpen. Let's prepare our heart by hanging out with the right people. Let's prepare our heart by worship. Let's prepare our heart by reading the Word of God, by prayer, by fasting. Let's prepare our heart for increase. Let God enlarge our heart for who He is. Let's prepare our heart right now for increase, right now in this year. Let's prepare our head for increase this year. Break barriers, mindsets, stronghold. Let's prepare our head this year. How do you prepare your head? One thing, how many know, I don't know what I don't know. But there's people that know what I don't know, and they'll help me with it. I would say probably 70% of the reason I travel is not so that I can share what I know. It's so that I can learn what I don't know. I get to be in the room with people that have forgotten more than I know. I get a platform to speak either on spiritual things or on business things all over the world. And when I get to do that, the great caveat is it's not that I get to just share what God's done in my life, which I love to testify, but it also puts me in an environment of increase. My mind begins to change. I begin to learn new things. He prepares the wineskin of my heart. He prepares the wineskin of my mind. And then I want you to put your hand out and just say, I want God to prepare my hand, my heart, my head, my hand. I want you to put your hand to the plow this year. Faith without works or corresponding actions is dead. The Bible says, put your hand to what He's called you to do. A couple days ago, speaking to that pastor, I said this. I said, you feel like you're doing what God's called you to do? He said, God called me to this, and God called me to that, and called me to this at the school, called me this in my occupation. I said, well, you're going through the turbulence of a breakthrough is what's happening. Keep your hand to the plow and don't look back. Whatever you put your hand to, the Lord said He'll bless. Don't look back. Don't regress. Stand to our feet this morning if we could. I'm looking at a bunch of miracles in here. I'm looking at a bunch of barrier breakers. If you're not born again this morning, I'm so glad to see my brother here this morning. I don't know what you've been through this week, man, but I'm glad you made it here. We've been praying for you and Crystal. If you'd like to accept Jesus this morning, He's got a new destiny for you. He's got a new life for you. And if you want that, then I want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Are all hearts clear in here as far as your salvation? Well, then I want to pray for us right now. This covenant blessing, Lord God, You said that You'll bring indescribable increase. I pray, Father, that we would enlarge our capacity to receive what You want to do in our life. And not only for us, part of the blessing of this covenant, it's not just about us. You said, and great shall be the peace of Your children and Your children's children and Your children's children. I'm going to fight some giants that my kids will never have to. Yeah. I'm going to defeat some things in my life because of this covenant that my kids hopefully will never know anything about. Oh. So Lord, I just bless my family. We pray that priestly blessing over them. May the Lord bless you, keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift up his smiling face, his countenance upon you, and give you peace every day in every way, especially today, because the Bible says today's all we really have. Let's make the best of it. In Jesus' name, amen.